Good morning, everybody. Thursday, I was actually in the COVID ward at Kettering Hospital, giving the last sacraments to somebody who was dying and had COVID. So as things become a little more intense, and sometimes now you are actually giving last sacraments to people who you know, it just becomes just a little more, what should I say, what's the word? I don't even know what word to use anymore. It becomes just a little more crazy, but it is what it is. Please take care of yourselves, and I cannot but think of coming to God like this woman in today's gospel reading. Dear God, please, may our faith bring us the healing that we seek. It is very tempting today for me to delve right into the gospel reading and the curious yet amazing story of what I'm calling this despised mother. She was not just a Canaanite woman, she was a mother who, within a matter of seconds in the story, turns out to be a hero, a model of faith. And even though I'm tempted to delve right into it, I'm going to resist the temptation. Because even though there is a despised mother, and there is the healing of her daughter, and there is tremendous faith that is expressed, the story that is being narrated in all of the scripture readings is just a little different. My house shall be a house of prayer for all peoples. This is the main plot of today's liturgical readings. And the story of the woman is a subplot within the main story. So I want to focus in my 3 points on the main story that is being told, the universal love of God. But then I want us to keep at the back of our minds that very statement I began the Eucharist with. Observe what is right, do what is just. And I'm going to conclude my homily with that statement. But here are my 3 points, and I'm going to give my 3 practical implications only towards the end of my 3rd point. But here is my 1st point for us today. A house of God for all peoples. Folks, in reality, today's scripture readings is about how we imagine God's saving work that has been revealed to us. The story of God's people begins in the Old Testament with Abraham, but it reaches its climax in God's choice of an insignificant, a powerless, and an enslaved people. We now know them as Israel. And God did not choose Israel because God was worthy, but rather, God chose Israel precisely because Israel was unworthy. And what was the plan? The plan was not for Israel to be the exclusive choice. Exclusivity is not part of God's plan of salvation. Rather, that in the way that Israel related to God, in the way Israel conducted itself, in the way that Israel related to each other within the nation, that the other nations and cultures and peoples would be so fascinated, that they would be drawn towards the God of Israel and do God homage. This is the plot. This is the plan of salvation. And that's why we have what is being said in today's 1st reading. The foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, them I will bring to my holy mountain and make joyful in my house of prayer, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. So God's vision for salvation is a universal vision. The woman in today's gospel reading was a foreigner. No, she was a despised foreigner. On that day, a despised Canaanite mother found God's favor, and her faith won Jesus' praise. So Isaiah's prophecy was beginning to come true in the ministry of Jesus Christ. But the plot thickens, and that's my second point for today. And I want to begin with Paul's words in today's second reading. Here's what Paul says. I'm speaking to you, Gentiles. I'm speaking to you, Gentiles, Paul says. Why is he speaking specifically to the Gentiles? Because God's plan, the way it was supposed to play out, ends up not playing out. God's plan for Israel to be a shining example for all nations did not work out well, and Jesus became the epitome of Israel's rejection of her election by God. So everybody was supposed to come to God through Israel, but guess what? Israel herself rejected Jesus Christ. But something else began to happen. In the post-resurrection time, the Gentile world became the hotspot for the movement of the Holy Spirit. So Paul talks about how when the Gentiles were being accepted into the church, he was hoping that it would function as some kind of an envious situation for the people of Israel. That seeing how Gentiles were responding, it would waken up the Israelites. However, it didn't work that way either. So the Jewish-Gentile dilemma is played out once again in the story of the woman, the Canaanite woman, and Jesus. The children versus the stray dog analogy. And that's a terrible analogy, actually, right? In those days, dogs were not domesticated. So when Jesus really meant dogs, he really meant stray dogs. The ones that would live, you know, just were fed by the people, but pretty much lived a stray life. The Canaanites were being compared to stray dogs. So this language of children versus stray dogs, it serves to highlight the tension between Jewish and Gentile Christians and Jewish and Gentiles in general. However, the main plot of the story is not even the conflict between Jews and Gentiles. The main plot of Matthew's story is that reconciliation can happen. That barriers can be crossed. That walls can be dismantled. Matthew's Jesus crosses into Gentile territory. He's in Tyre and Sidon. These are Gentile territories. So Jesus actually crosses a barrier. And when he is in Gentile territory, a Gentile woman, a Canaanite woman, comes to Jesus, and guess what she does? She calls him Lord, Son of David. So you see how Isaiah's prophecy is beginning to come true. Gentiles are coming to Jesus and saying, Lord God. On the other hand, Jesus is crossing into Gentile territory. The disciples of Jesus, they're still in the old frame of mind. They ask Jesus to send her away because she's insignificant. Jesus responds to her. And this is what I find fascinating. That even though that conversation is not a very good conversation, Jesus talks to her. Even in disparaging language. But Jesus talks to her. She's no pushover. She talks back. And she talks back in such a way that it tugs the heart of God. Suddenly, there is a twofold miracle. Not only is the girl healed, But God's grace has been freely shared with a Gentile and a foreigner. Behold, a Gentile has come to faith in Jesus Christ. But there are more miracles. Barriers have been broken. Walls have been torn down. God's universal vision has been accomplished in Jesus Christ. And now we come to the woman's story. A woman, a mother, an outsider. So I was at a parish council meeting last Wednesday. This was the St. Helen Parish Council meeting. We had an online meeting. And we were reflecting on this gospel reading like we always do before we begin the meeting. And one of the members of the parish council, who is also a mother, said something very interesting about Jesus' response to this woman, where he says it is not right to take the food of children and throw it to dogs. And she said, a mother will do anything for her children, including willing to be insulted for the sake of her children. I had never thought about it that way. And mothers do, isn't it? Mothers will do anything for their children. It was an interesting thought. And then she said, the story of this mother tells us that God belongs to all and that even outsiders are welcome. So I want to draw my three practical implications from this mother's reflection that day. First, folks, there simply is no substitute for faith. There simply is no substitute for faith. We live in unprecedented times. These are times that we come before God with the faith of this mother who pleads that her daughter be healed. Our children are about to head to schools during a pandemic. And talk to any parent, whether the child is going to school online or in person. Talk to any parent, their angst is for their children and for their well-being. So let us plead with God, with the faith of this mother. We need to express our faith and may God, dear God, please listen to the prayers of every mother and father who's anxious for their child. That's my first practical implication. Second, too many people are making claims to exclusivity in our world when God's plan is for universal salvation. More and more people are rejecting others based on race and nationality and religion and gender and class and gosh, we can't sneeze without being criticized these days. Too much exclusivity. This is contrary to the gospel. It simply is contrary to the gospel. As that mother said at the parish council, God belongs to all and all belong to God. Why can't we simply just live with that? Because God's plan is not exclusivity. God's plan is universal. And thirdly, we must be a people of dialogue. Beside the dialogue between Jesus and the Canaanite woman, the Gospels have other instances where Jesus talks with those that Jewish society held in disdain. Remember the story of the Samaritan woman. Remember the story of the Syrophoenician woman who came to touch Jesus' garment. Remember the story of the centurion, a Roman, whose servant Jesus healed just by his word. We speak those words at Mass. We speak the words of a Gentile just before communion. Jesus also brought those who were on the periphery and treated badly into the forefront. The parable of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritans were despised and Jesus makes him a Good Samaritan. Or the tax collectors who were hated. Jesus makes him a humble tax collector when he comes to prayer as opposed to the Pharisee. Folks, in our times, the environment is so toxic, so toxic. I know families now who are having difficulty talking to each other. Good friends are having trouble getting together, right? Situation is very toxic. And this is precisely the time that there is tremendous need for dialogue. At least we must talk. We can disagree, but let's not stop talking. Because when we dialogue, there are always miracles. So let me conclude with where I began. Observe what is right. Do what is just. That's the story of Jesus and that woman in the gospel reading. They navigated through some very difficult social conflicts. There was a history of hate and mistrust, and yet they navigated through that. They talked it out, and finally, there is a miracle and mutual appreciation. I'm saying, let our stories, may our stories become subplots in the story of God's plan of salvation. People of God said,